Well, you found your place in Matthew chapter 6 there in your Bibles, and we'll be concluding our focus on having grateful hearts in our series, Thankful. And we'll be looking here at this text in Matthew chapter 6 to speak of this biblical issue of contentment. Have you ever found yourself struggling with distractions when you're at work? So you want to experience that when you're at work, just running into distractions. It seems at times that even the distraction is still work-related, but it may not be what you're working on at that moment or what you're focused on. It's something that you want to handle later on. And I realize that each of us probably have different situations as it relates to work. My personal experience with what I do as a pastor, a lot of times I find the distractions come when I've set aside my study time. Obviously, a good part of my ministry is preparing messages, preparing to preach, so I'm studying the Word of God. And many times, it's when I'm doing that work that I experience distractions, and those distractions can come in many forms. One major source of distraction is my phone. I'll get emails and text messages and phone calls. I've attempted some different things at times, whether it be just turning my phone off completely or setting it to do not disturb or whatever. And it seems like the times I do that are when I get a call or a text message or something that I really shouldn't miss. But there are times my phone rings, I get a text message, I get an email, and I may try to discipline myself. If I'm really heavy in study, I may hear it buzz, whatever. Just do my best to discipline myself not to pick it up and look at it right now. But you know how it goes. Sometimes you probably experience this. Eventually, it gets the best of me. I pick it up and I look, and it's an email or it's a text message. And many times it's probably something work-related. I might get an email from Pastor Rob about a project that's ongoing, or get a text message or an email from even a church member or someone related to ministry. And the text or the email may be work-related, but because now I've looked at it, even as soon as I set my phone down, I may not be able to get right back to my study. Because whatever the text or the email was about may be something that now has distracted my thoughts. I'm thinking about that situation. I'm going over all the different things in my mind that is involved in that situation. So it's distracted me from what I was doing. And you all have probably experienced that type of situation in your own way, in your own place, employment, in your life. This may seem obvious, but still is good to say that when you experience that, the distraction has divided your attention. So you're not completely focused as you were. Now your attention's a little divided. You're trying to keep doing the study, but you're thinking about that. You're trying to continue preparing for that presentation, but now you're thinking about that. You're trying to speak or to teach, and something happens and it's distracting, and now you're thinking about that. Your attention's divided. I read a story of a pastor who was preaching in a church service, and as he was preaching, he felt like, wow, this is a really good message. And he felt even better about that when he looked down and noticed his wife was taking notes feverishly. And he finished the service and felt really good about it. So when they got in the vehicle to go home, the pastor asked his wife, "What did you think of the message?" And she said, "Oh, well, I didn't really pay that much attention." And he said, "What do you mean? I saw you taking notes feverishly. What were all those notes that you were taking?" And she responded, "Oh, that. Well, I was just writing down my grocery list." As her husband was up there preaching. I dare say that he did not expect that type of a response when he went in to ask her that question. You know, it makes the point, though, in that context of a worship service. It's hard to get much out of a worship service or to make a worship service meaningful when your attention is divided, when your thoughts are somewhere else. And that's true in many different areas of life. In Matthew chapter 6, where I've had you turn in your Bibles, there's another lesson here that we learn about the biblical subject of contentment that relates to divided attention because Jesus speaks about it. Through this familiar passage of Scripture, our one lesson that we learn is that right priorities will produce contentment. Don't miss this truth this evening. Right priorities will produce contentment. As a child of God, right priorities means seeking God's kingdom rather than my own. If I'm living an undivided life for God's kingdom, the right priorities will be present in my life and they will produce contentment. Matthew chapter 6, let's read beginning in verse 24 and we'll read on through the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking and he teaches and says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray together before we continue to break this passage down. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening in the middle of the week to recharge our spiritual batteries by worshiping together, studying your word together, and praying together. I ask you this evening that you would open our hearts and minds to what you have for us, that you would show us this lesson of biblical contentment from this passage of Scripture, that we might take it with us, apply it to our lives, and also understand how it fits in the grand scheme of our lives on a practical level. Help me as I preach your word to preach powerfully, persuasively, and practically. And I'll be sure to praise and thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to give you two thoughts from this passage of Scripture this evening that will help us to understand how this issue of priorities ties in with contentment. Notice, if you would, first of all, that Jesus gives us the reality check. How many of you understand what a reality check is? There are times in our lives where we use that type of terminology. I can't recall that I have actually use that type of terminology with my children just yet, but each of you have older children than I do, and so there's probably been times in your experience as a parent that you've maybe even use that terminology, or even if you've not used that terminology, you've dealt with your children in such a way to help them to have a reality check. I think we have an understanding of what a reality check is, and essentially what Jesus does here in verse number 24, as he is speaking in chapters 5, 6, and 7 to people who are following him about what it means to be a disciple, Jesus gives them a reality check. He addressed just previous to this the issue of what we treasure and exhorted those who would follow him, those who would be his disciples, that they need to lay up treasure in heaven rather than treasure on earth. The focus of your life as a follower of Jesus Christ needs to be to lay up treasure in heaven rather than treasure on earth. And Jesus made clear that whether you lay up treasure in heaven or in earth, on the earth, is a matter of your heart. Because Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. But then he goes on here and he's beginning a transition in verse 24. He's transitioning from that thought, that theme, to what he's going to conclude with in chapter 6 that we read about. But as he's transitioning from that discussion about where you should lay up your treasure to this discussion about our priorities in the kingdom of God, he's going to make a declarative statement that is this reality check. And here it is in very simple terms. You can't serve God and mammon. How many of you have ever worked two jobs at the same time? I don't mean the same hours of the day, but you had two part-time jobs, or maybe a full-time and a part-time job. I've done that before myself. When you have a situation like that, you may work a few hours at one job, a few hours at another job, or maybe a full-time type job, 8 hours at one job, 3 or 4 hours at another part-time job, or maybe different days of the week. In that situation, you have different employers. But likely, if you've been in that situation, it's not been an issue where there were a lot of conflicts. It's not that it ran into problems, maybe scheduling once in a while, if one job scheduled you to work at the same time you were to work the other job. But I imagine in those situations, typically, the employer doesn't care too much that you worked for someone else as well, as long as you do your job as you're supposed to, when you're supposed to, at their place of work. The Bible says here, you can't serve God and mammon. God and mammon are not like two employers where you can be part-time one and part-time the other. No, this is a very different situation altogether. Jesus taught the simple truth. It is not possible to serve two masters when one master is God and the other master is anything else. Mammon specifically in this context. Mammon is a word transliterated from the Aramaic that speaks of wealth or property. So you might think of it as money or possessions, just straight up materialism. And Jesus here is making the point that it is not possible to serve God and mammon. And in reality, ultimately, it is not possible to serve God and anything else at the same time. And that's because God is not an employer scheduling you for specific hours of being on the clock. God is a king who requires single-minded devotion. And in reality, to give anything less than that is to essentially offer no service at all. Jesus is making plain to his followers, as he transitions from where we ought to lay up our treasure to this issue of priorities and seeking God's kingdom, that it is impossible to serve God as one master and at the same time to have another master. One writer said it this way of what Jesus said in verse 24. He said, "The principle of materialism is an inevitable conflict with the kingship of God." The principle of materialism, living for mammon, wealth and property, serving mammon as a master, or really serving any other master alongside God, is in conflict with the kingship of God. If the previous principles of contentment that we've examined are true, and what we've seen through this brief study is really a different theme along the lines of biblical contentment. We saw, first of all, that Christ is the enabler of contentment. He told us, "Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We've seen the truth that God supplies our needs, and so we can live in contentment knowing that God will offer his watch, care, and provision in our lives. We have also seen that God's love is the source of ultimate satisfaction. We can find ultimate satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in the reality that God loves us. But now we learn that contentment cannot be experienced apart from single-minded devotion to God. If I try to serve God and you fill in the blank in my life, I cannot experience biblical contentment. Anything else, whether single-minded devotion to someone or something else, or divided attention to God and you fill in the blank, leaves us short of contentment. This was not a general principle that's true for some and not true for others. For anyone who would be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't serve God and. It's not possible. And if you try to live your life that way, you'll fall short of contentment. For example, a principle in Scripture that would back this up is found in James chapter 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ephesians, Paul talks about those who are immature believers who are like children tossed to and fro. You cannot serve God and. This is the reality check. So when I'm coming to this passage of Scripture and I read that declarative statement, that truth that is true for all people in all places in all times given by Jesus Christ, this is a universal truth. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and you fill in the blank. I have to stop and ask myself, am I trying to live with divided attention? Like that illustration I used at the beginning, you're at work and you're working on a project and that distraction comes and now your attention is divided. If I am trying to live my life, fulfill my life's purpose, fulfill my life's pursuits with this divided attention, God and, it doesn't work. That's the reality check. Notice, if you will, secondly, the responding commands. As Jesus transitions from lay up your treasure in heaven, not on earth, with the recognition you can't serve God and mammon, from what he had previously commanded about where to lay up our treasure and declared you can't serve God and mammon, he now gives us three commands in the remainder of the passage that relate to single-minded devotion to God. If you are going to live with this single-minded devotion, you must obey these commands. And obedience to these commands will lead us to the right priorities that produce contentment in our lives. If we live in obedience to these commands and single-minded devotion to God, it will inevitably produce contentment. What are the three commands? Well, first of all, he tells us to conquer. To conquer. Five times in six, in the remaining verses of this passage, Jesus speaks to us about anxiety. You see, priorities are not just experienced in the theoretical or the philosophical realm. It's not just a theoretical type or a philosophical type. How are you approaching life? What's your mindset? What's your outlook? What's your worldview? No, the reality is that when you're living with single-minded devotion to God, and you're establishing right priorities that inevitably lead to contentment, it's very practical. Jesus, in these verses, five times speaks against anxiety. He exhorts us to the point of not being worried about those things that are daily necessities. In verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you," remember, "therefore" means I need to look back to understand why he's going to tell me what he's going to tell me. Well, what has he said? "Lay not up treasure on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven." You can't serve God and mammon. With those truths in mind, now he says, take no thought, verse 25, of your life. Take no thought is translated from a word that literally means don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? In verse 27, he says, "Which of you, by taking thought, being anxious and worried?" In verse 28, "And why take ye thought?" Why are you anxious and worried for raiment? In verse number 31, "Therefore take no thought," don't be worried, don't be anxious. Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought," don't be anxious, don't be worried. Jesus continually speaks against anxiety and tells us not to be anxious in relation to those things that are daily necessities. Now, connect this, Jesus' command here, with what we saw in 1 Timothy 6 a few weeks back about contentment. What did Paul tell us about contentment in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Godliness with contentment is gain. And he tells us if we have what two things we should be content? Food and raiment. What does Jesus say that we're not supposed to be anxious about here? Food and raiment. Look at it again, verse 25. "Take no thought for your life what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." What Paul told us, if you have food and raiment, you can be content. And remember, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, that doesn't mean that that our refrigerator and cupboards are overflowing and we have four closets full of clothing, and that's not the whole family, that's just me. That's not his point. If you have clothes to wear today and a meal to eat today, you can be content. Now what does Jesus say here? Hey, don't be anxious or worried about those bare necessities, your food, your drink, your raiment. If our basic necessities are met, food and clothing, we should live contented. Now Jesus tells us not to live anxiously about those basic necessities. He tells us we don't need to worry about our meals, our clothing, let alone any of the other concerns that often fill our hearts and minds. Transparently, there are times I get a little anxious about things. There are times I get worried about things. And I would imagine the same is true of you. Jesus tells us there should be nothing in our lives, even to the very basic of necessities, that we get anxious and concerned about, worried over in our lives. Now, why is this so important to the overall message that Jesus shared with his disciples? Have you wondered that? How does this relate to whether we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven or on earth, that we can't serve God and eventually leading up to his command later in this passage to seek the kingdom of God first? How does this relate? Think about it. Living with anxiety, worrying about the issues of life that we often worry about, is that distraction that causes us to live with divided attention. Like when you're at work and you're working on a particular project and something distracts you, and now you can't give your full attention to this project. Your attention is now off on that rabbit trail or that other work-related thing that needs attention at some point, but not with what you're trying to do right now. You have that divided attention, and now you're not giving your best here, nor are you giving your best over there. When you and I live with anxiety and we worry over the things that we worry about in life, we are now living with divided attention. We're living distracted. We can't give our full focus and attention to laying up treasure in heaven. We can't give our full attention to the kingdom of God and building God's kingdom and giving toward God's kingdom and working for God's kingdom, because we're living with divided attention. And so Jesus tells us, don't be anxious. You need to conquer your worry. Conquer your anxiety. If we live with that divided attention, we're unable to live with proper priorities, which produce contentment. So if we're not in control of our anxiety, if we're not in control of our worry, then we'll not be able to have those right priorities that produce contentment. One writer said it this way, and I think he got it right. He said this: there may be greater sins than worry. We tend to categorize sin, don't we? As not too bad, you know, not a big deal, bad, really bad. And if we're honest, most of the time we think our sin never falls into the really bad category, right? Usually our sin is not too bad. Maybe it's bad once in a while. And worry, anxiety, is probably one of those sins that we don't even think about a whole lot. We worry and we grow anxious over things. Our blood pressure starts to go up a little bit. We're distracted by the thought of that situation or that experience, to the point of living distracted, not even be able to focus and fulfill what it is we're even got right in front of us. There may be greater sins than worry, he said, but very certainly there is no more disabling sin. Jesus spoke about that right here in Matthew chapter 6. If you live a life filled with anxiety, with worry, you'll not be able to live with right priorities as you should, and thus miss out on biblical contentment. So Jesus tells us to conquer. You need to conquer your anxiety and worry. And then the second command he gives is to consider. Notice verse 26. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" What does Jesus do here? In two ways he tells us to consider. He gives us two illustrations, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. In each illustration he describes the picture, the scene for us, and then he asks a question related to each illustration to apply it to our lives. He uses two different words. In verse 26, the word translated "behold." In verse number 28, the word translated "consider." And it is two different original words, but they're very similar. Both words have the idea of take a close look at this, examine it, think upon it, with the intent of learning something from it. In other words, Jesus says, these illustrations that I provide for you, if you'll think upon them, will teach you something about your faith and your relationship to me. And he helps us with that, with the questions that apply them to our lives. If the birds of the air are taken care of, his eye is on the sparrow. If God takes care of the birds flying through the sky as they nest in the tree, he asks the question in verse 26, "Are ye not much better than they? Are not you, as the pinnacle of God's creation, man? Beyond that, aren't you the one for whom he gave his son, whose blood purchased you and paid for you? Are not you," because he's speaking to his followers, those who would be his disciples, so these are those who have been blood-bought, who are saved, who are children of God, "are not you, by virtue of the fact that you're the peak of his creation, are not you, by virtue of the fact that you're one of those whom Christ died for, are not you, who is one who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, who's been made a child of God by adoption, aren't you much better than the fowls of the air? And if God takes care of them, don't you think your heavenly Father is going to do just fine taking care of you?" He asks about those flowers of the field. They're so beautiful. Solomon is the wisest and wealthiest king of all the kings of Israel, of all the kings of the world at his time. Certainly was able to afford the very best and most beautiful clothing, and yet he could not be arrayed the way that God arrayed the flowers. And Jesus asks the question to apply it. He says in verse number 30, "If God so clothed the grass of the field," end of the verse now, "shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Once again, Jesus asks us to consider, to look upon this, to think about it, to learn a lesson of faith. And the lesson of faith is simply this: I don't need to worry. I don't need to be anxious about the things of my life that tend to worry me and make me anxious, because I have a heavenly Father up above who is well able to care for me. He gives this command to cause us to pause, to reflect, to learn, and then to adjust our thinking, to adjust our behavior. If we think clearly about God's dealings with His creation and His dealings with us, our only conclusion will be that God can take better care of us than we can do for ourselves. And we can trust Him to do so day by day. When this is done in our lives, it enables us to reorient our lives so that we will put first things first. We'll line up our priorities accordingly and properly. And when we do that according to God's system and not our own, we're in a place to be able to live in biblical contentment. Jesus tells us to conquer. He tells us to consider. And then finally, He tells us to concentrate. Verse 33. Seek. To desire. To strive after. To endeavor for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. According to Jesus, not according to Pastor Willard, not according to some system of religion, not according to some church mission or creed, according to Jesus Christ, what is the highest priority of a disciple? It's the kingdom of God. According to Jesus, our Savior, the one that we would all say that we follow, that we would profess to be His disciple, Jesus says that the highest priority is the kingdom of God. So the question we need to answer for ourselves is, what are we seeking first in our lives? If my focus is on taking care of myself, the accumulation of things, whether they are needs or wants, then it's clear that I am not seeking His kingdom first. It might be well worth your time today to make a list of all the things you're worried about, to sit down and write out what are the things you're worried about. How many of those things fit into the category of clothing and food? They're basic necessities that you're worried about. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to take care? It may be those basic necessities of life. Now, how many of those items that you're worried about fit into the category of wants? I need that new TV. That vacation that's coming up. Wish I had a better vehicle. Or whatever it may be. When you think through those things that you're worried and anxious about, are those things first in your list of concerns? Does the time you spend worrying about and pursuing these other things on your list eclipse the amount of time you spend serving God and trying to help grow His kingdom? How much of your time are you spending worrying about things in the future that you can't control? How much of your time are you spending worrying about those situations and experiences of life that really you have no control over? What did Jesus say in verse 34, even after He said to seek first the kingdom? He said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. In essence, what Jesus was telling us was, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on today. And today, first and foremost, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God. The reality check, you can't serve God and. The responding commands, conquer. We need to conquer our anxiety and worry. Consider, look at creation and God's acts in creation. If He takes such good care of the things He has made, how could we think that He'll not take better care of us who are His children? Concentrate. What is your priority? Where does the kingdom of God fit in? As you consider this passage of Scripture as it relates to biblical contentment, what does an examination of your life reveal when you allow the Holy Spirit to give you the reality check? There is nothing and no one that you can serve alongside of God and expect to continue that divided allegiance. You can't do it. And so the question that you need to answer for yourself is, who reigns on your heart? who or what reigns on your heart. Contentment will be produced by right priorities. If your priorities need adjusting, follow Jesus' commands to conquer, to consider, and to concentrate on His kingdom first. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? I'm looking around for just a moment. Whether those of you who are here with us or those who are watching or listening to this message this evening, how is the Lord speaking to your heart about biblical contentment? This reality check, are you trying to live with divided allegiance? Or can you truly and sincerely say that you're living with single-minded, single-hearted devotion for the Lord? And then, how are you doing in relation to your priorities? Are you anxious and worried over things that the Lord has said not to worry about because He'll take care of those things? He's in control. He'll supply. He'll provide. So that you're not able to focus on His kingdom first. If the Lord is speaking to your heart this evening, I would ask you as I lead us that you will just respond to the Lord in your own heart in obedience this evening. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the work that you have done and are continuing to do in our lives. Lord, help us to truly examine our own hearts and reflect on whether or not we are living with single-hearted devotion, with right priorities in relation to your kingdom. In every area of life, no matter what our vocation is, Lord, this isn't about full-time ministry as a vocation. This is about living for your kingdom first before anything else. This is about putting you first in our homes, putting you first in the workplace, putting you first on our job, putting you first in our finances, putting you first in our family, putting you first over our choices, putting you first over everything. I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. And if there is some area of our life where that truth is lacking, that you would help us to identify it through your Holy Spirit and correct it. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.